Our scripture this morning comes from Psalm 42, verses 1, 2, 7, and 8, and then Psalm 44, verse 3. As the deer pants for streams of water, so my soul pants for you, my God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When can I go and meet with God? Deep calls to deep, in the roar of your waterfalls. All your waves and breakers have swept over me. By day, the Lord directs his love. At night, his song is with me, a prayer to the God of my life. It was not by their sword that they won the land, nor did their arm bring them victory. It was your hand, your arm, and the light of your face, for you loved them. Our guest speaker this morning is Daryl Hofstetter, and a little fun fact about them is that him and his wife Cheryl were who married Pastor Randy and Emily, and they attend James Street. So I'm very happy to have you, and blessings as you share, Daryl.
Good morning. It's good to be here with you. I don't know that I've ever visited here on a Sunday morning before, so I was interested in learning to know some of you and some familiar faces. Even two of you are back at Christopher Dock, which I don't very often worship with people who I went to high school with at Christopher Dock, so... Just to tell you a little bit more about myself, I just came back from Nepal, where I preached, I guess, about 3 weeks ago in a church there, and also did a trek up in the Himalayas, one of my dreams and hopes. Did it with another guy with EMM, who was on sabbatical. And so we did a little bit more spiritual formation kind of things. But the scripture I share here comes from that time. And I wanted to start out with this a little bit because it was amazing to see over 100 waterfalls on a 12-day hike. Water just unbelievable. And, of course, scenery unbelievable. But this whole thing of the deep calls to deep, the roar of your waterfalls, and following this river up where it was just gushing all the time from the glaciers and the water coming down the mountain. And one of the things that I meditated on during those days was the extravagant love of God, the gushing, overflowing sound you heard every day as you walked of this water just gushing down. Now this morning we've already sung some songs of God's faithfulness, peace like a river, and then rain down God's love. And one of the things I wanted us to begin with this morning is just to somehow enter into this love of God. And so I would like you might reflect on the scripture, you might reflect on the songs I've been singing, or you might just want to sit in silence, but I want us just to take in this extravagant love of God for you and listen. What might he say to you this morning as you spend, I'm going to give you probably about a minute and a half in silence, but you might open your arms like this, however you sit, but spend it with Jesus. And allow him to express his love for you this morning. So you might want to close your eyes because it'll make it a little less distracting. But let's take a 90 seconds here of just letting God love us. Thank you, Lord, for your abundant love. For your surprising love, for your extravagant love for me. Thank you. Amen. One of the things I often sense when I do that is I hear, I love you. It's very simple, but very profound, because if we actually sense and feel the love of God, it begins to change who we are. Most of us, as good Mennonites, say, no, we aren't that good. We aren't that great. We don't like to really say that we perhaps are loved by God, but we are. It's something to celebrate. And it's why we can give thanks this time of year, particularly because we have so much to be thankful for. We've been loved by the Creator God so much that He sent Jesus here to help us understand who He is and to let us know how much we're loved. And so for me, part of my journey in Nepal was receiving and understanding even more God's love for me. But not only for me, you know, when you feel love, it spills out. We can't keep it to ourselves. On my journey, we had a pastor, a Nepali pastor with us, who we didn't speak the same language, but we prayed every morning together, because in Nepal you can all pray at the same time and you can pray different languages. So we prayed every morning and evening, and we were praying for him, we were praying for the villages we were going through, that still there were no believers in those villages. And at the same time, we were saying, God, we want to meet you. Show us yourself today. Well, I can say more about that, but I want to get to this part, as I have in my title there, extravagant love equals extravagant hospitality. Now, I believe we best can be those who are hospitable people if we know that we are loved. So take those times to spend with Jesus and to hear from Him and to learn from Him and to actually know how much He loves you. Because that makes all the difference in the world. One of the other things that I have been involved in the last few years is I'm a chaplain at the Lancaster County Prison, and more recently have got involved with some refugees coming into our area. So in this next season of life for me, my focus is much more prisoners and refugees. In the past, I worked for Eastern Mennonite Missions for about 27 years. My wife and I resigned there at the end of last year. And so we're in sort of a season of transition in our lives. But this is where I feel like God has put His hand on me, is walking with prisoners and refugees. And this morning it was very apt in the adult Sunday school that we were talking about angels. And you know the scripture that says, perhaps as we are hospitable to people, we will be hospitable to angels unaware. And this whole idea of how do we care for, whether you say it, the least of these or those who I've struggled more. In Matthew, you know this passage well, where it talks about the sheep and the goats. I'll just read a little bit here from verse 34 of Matthew 25. Then the king will say to those on his right, come, who are blessed of my Father, take your inheritance and kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry. Those who are hungry. Okay? And you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty. And you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger. And you invited me in. I needed clothes. And you clothed me. I was sick. And you looked after me. And I was in prison. And you came to visit me. Notice these. The poor, hungry, strangers, which could be immigrants, refugees, or someone on your street that you don't know, someone in prison. All these are specifically mentioned. In Luke, we also have the instruction that when you give a luncheon or dinner, do not invite your friends. What? Isn't that what we do? Isn't that who we're probably having together over Thanksgiving? Or your brothers, or your sisters, or your relatives, or your rich neighbors. If you do, they might invite you back, and we enjoy all of that. But when you give a banquet, it says, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, the blind, and you will be blessed. Although they cannot repay you, you will be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous. So, what does it mean to have this radical hospitality that comes out of the very heart of being loved by God? Now, hospitality in Scripture, if you were to look it up, the biblical understanding of hospitality is to be hospitable to a stranger, or perhaps even your enemy, not your friend, not your family. Although that's a kind of hospitality, but it's different when, okay, someone comes to your door, you don't know that person. Me being truthful, I tend to, okay, is this a salesman? Is this someone? I don't really know whether I want to, you know, invite them in or talk with them. I don't have time. Do you understand that? I think you're probably with me. That's not hospitality. Now, when you go to Africa, where I lived about 13 years of my life, or to Nepal, or many other places in the world, hospitality is a given, even to strangers. In our culture, we tend to fear. And I heard us in the prayer this morning about God take care of our fear. And He can, if we first connect with that love that God has for us, that really we are loved, because then we can move out into freedom rather than fear. I want to quote from a couple books on hospitality that you may have read or heard about. One of them is Michelle Hershberger's book, and another one is Christine Pohl's book, both on hospitality. Michelle Hershberger says this: many people share their resources in ways that are not truly hospitable. They reinforce the status quo instead of challenging it. Their charitable gifts address short-term needs. That is admirable, but does not allow for the changing of roles. The gift is given in such a way that nothing really changes between the person that gets it and me. The unjust structures are not threatened. The giver will always remain the giver, and the receiver will always have to be the receiver. This false hospitality provides ministry to the weaker party, but does not expect or allow ministry to flow from the weaker party to me. Now, true hospitality changes the status quo and is a leveler. One example in Scripture would be what Jesus did with Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus, come down, for I'm coming to your house today. Now, one of the things that is difficult for us sometimes is, at least as I've understood Mennonite hospitality, we invite other people into our home. What I think Jesus portrays more importantly is we become the stranger in other people's homes. Why? They're at home. And we take the risk. If we invite them into our home, they're coming into our culture, into our language, into our setting, and that's difficult. If we have the love of Jesus and experience that, like Jesus did, He left where? Heaven? And came here? In a human form? Are we following Jesus? You see, it calls us to be the stranger in someone else's home. It causes us to go where we don't know all the ins and outs and the right ways to act. Like one of the Somali families that I visit, okay, you always take your shoes off at the door. Well, you might not know that the first time. They have a lot of grace. But you go back, you take your shoes off. Well, they don't know English very well. Can we be friends of people who don't know English? It takes some time and commitment, but it is a leveler for us because we then find ourselves in the weak area of not knowing too much about them, their language, their culture, the way they do things. Same kind of thing could be with those in a minority family, minority race family in our own culture here that also might be struggling, or someone coming out of prison and some of the things that they're dealing with. We have to become learners. And who do we become learners from? The very people that are strangers to us, that God is calling us to become their friends. So true hospitality pays attention to the guest. There's a trust and a willingness to open ourselves to what we might receive from them. If you look at Mary's way in which she treated Jesus when he came to their house, perfume, washing his feet, extravagant. How do we pay attention and share God's love with these guests, even if we are the stranger in their home? One of the pastors that I visited in Swaziland, he told me about this person who had come to their house and didn't speak the Swazi language, and so they couldn't communicate, but he gave them a place to stay, fed them, and cared for them, I think 3 days. Couldn't communicate. But when he told me about this, he says, I don't know. It could have been an angel unawares. But he very willingly and openly opened his home, gave food, supported this person who he had never met before. Now that's where I think we have a lot to learn from some other cultures about learning to be hospitable. Another thing that's sort of interesting, strangers bring gifts. Now, my Swazi brother-in-law, because I had a Swazi family. My father died this year. Yeah, my Swazi father died this year in Swaziland. We lived with them for a while, and they became our family. During the apartheid reign in southern Africa, Swaziland was down beside South Africa, he was a teacher and was accused of being ANC at the time and thrown into prison. He was not a Christian, but he became very depressed once he was in prison because he had a wife. I'm not sure whether they had children yet or not, but he didn't know how in the world he was going to take care of her. And so the interesting thing is he asked for a Bible from a white guard who is known for killing black people. And he received the Bible. And through reading that Bible, he had a conversion experience to today he is a Christian and living for Christ. Sometimes the very people who we least suspect to have a gift for me or in some way bless me may have just what I need from God. And that was true also for Abraham. Do you remember when the three visitors came to Abraham? And Abraham did all kinds of things, made a meal, invited them to stay longer, and then they had a message for Abraham. When I was traveling through Turkey on my way to Nepal, and then went through Saudi Arabia, didn't really get out of the airport, but I had only, for whatever reason, the airlines would only send my luggage to Saudi Arabia, and somehow, how was it going to get on to India and into Nepal? And because I wasn't going to enter the country. But they didn't tell me how that was going to happen, so you can imagine I had some anxiety, and I was praying about that. And one of the neat things happened is that here was someone else who was sort of in my predicament when I got in the airport, and we together were able to encourage one another and find someone to help us. There's people that are there that keep blessing us and our special gifts to us along the way, as I think God wants us to be for others. It also involves some risk, as you can imagine. Letting a stranger in our house, what might they steal? What might they do? You see? Because we in this culture, if you're like me, I have a little more ties to my things than a lot of people in other cultures that have a lot less than I do. So I become a little more cautious of what are they going to do or what might they take from me. It's part of the fear we have sometimes. Paul says, hospitable attitudes, even a principled commitment to hospitality, does not challenge us or transform our loyalties in the way that actual hospitality to particular strangers does. Practicing hospitality always involves risk and possibility of failure, but there is a greater risk and loss in neglecting hospitality. I want to tell you about my neighbor. This probably was 6 years ago or whatever. I live in Lancaster City. We had one of these SWAT teams come in, and it was an African-American family who happened to be Muslim, and they surrounded their house with all these SWAT teams, and our neighbor woman was in the duplex right beside them, and scared to death because you had all these SWAT teams and guns and everything, and don't look out windows and don't do this. Well, they took the African-American, I think probably the couple, out, hands tied and so on, because apparently the husband or the wife was related to the guy who had killed a police officer in Philadelphia or something like that. Well, the next day you started hearing some neighbors saying, oh, they're terrorists, or, you know, or whatever. And our neighbor said, no, they aren't terrorists, they're my friend. I know them. They're good people. Now, she was a young Christian at the time. She had come to Christ years earlier. But she had learned what hospitality was in reaching out to this family next door and saw the injustice of the way they were treated. Later, they came to our house. We weren't there when all this was happening, and asked my wife, I think it was Fox News, asked my wife, okay, what did you think about what happened? My wife said, well, I think if it would have been me, this wouldn't have happened. I think no one would have come and taken me out of my house with my hands behind if me being a white person. You see, we have to take some risks in life to stand up and let those around us who are more vulnerable in this season of politics and change and fear and whatever you name it, to let people know that it's safe to be with me. If they have any problem, let me know. And that's what I'm hoping to tell the refugees' families that I'm visiting here in the next week or so. If you have any problems, or if you're feeling fearful, insecure, let me know. We, as many, not all of us here are white, but those of us who are white tend to have a privilege in this society. And we need to be able to make it safe for everyone if we are the hospitality of Jesus. We know when Jesus walked on the road with the two from Emmaus, Jesus was the guest and the stranger in the home, and then he became a host as he broke the bread. So sometimes the guest and the host might change as we enter into these relationships. Do we know what mutual hospitality is? Do we just look at what we can give, or do we also look at what God wants to give us from those we are serving? We need strangers in our lives, every bit as much as they need us. Now, you might not believe that, but I encourage you to think and pray about that for a little while. Because we need... There's at least two immigrants a day coming into Lancaster. And I think we need them every bit as much as they need us. We cannot, therefore, this is Hershberger again, therefore meet God only in the familiar. There is always a part of God that is new to us, a surprise to us, a stranger to us. We relate to a new side of God then as we relate to the strangers among us. So we want to go deeper with God? Then let's be open to the stranger in our midst. As you know, Elijah had to learn that from a widow woman. When I did a Luke 10 team in Swaziland, it was a widow woman who reached out and gave us a place to sleep when we slept out under the stars the night before. It's often the stranger, the person you least expect, that often will be a blessing to us. Yes, there's always surprise in this. Some of you maybe have watched the movie Captive about Brian Nichols and Ashley, I forget her name, who took this man in, or allowed her to come in and minister to him after he killed a judge and some other people in the courtroom and down near Atlanta. This was probably almost 10 years ago. But this captive, if you watch that movie, you will see that Ashley was dealing with some of her own stuff. And through caring for this Brian Nichols, her life was changed. And that comes out in the movie. She lost her husband to someone, to a murder earlier. But anyhow, she became a different person through reaching out. So to the least of these, to strangers, aliens, to those who don't speak my language, to those who are homeless, notice the subversive character when socially undervalued people are welcomed into our lives and into our communities. A life of hospitality begins in worship with a recognition of God's love, generosity, grace that is there for us and for all people. Hospitality is not first a duty and responsibility. It is a response of love and gratitude for God's love and welcome for us. In other words, a Thanksgiving celebration. Because of God's love for us and how we are just in all about that, we want to reach out and let others know. A few questions just for you to meditate on a little bit. How might hospitality become part of your life relationships to strangers? Are you ready to become a friend of one stranger this year? It's something I share in almost every congregation I have the opportunity. Can you commit yourself to become a friend of at least one stranger in this next 12 months? And that means some time. It means some commitment. It means some engagement. That will change your life, and it will change their life. And you will experience even more of this wonderful love of Jesus. What are the fears or barriers from being hospitable to strangers? Do we not need to face these to both receive and extend the hospitality and love of Jesus? What can I learn about hospitality and how it probably is more a visiting of a stranger than having them in my home? And there's other questions I could give. This is not something I'm saying is just for you, it's for me. Lord Jesus, we invite you to help us not only, Father, be in awe and see more clearly your love for us, but that love might be so enticing, exciting, fulfilling to us, that we open ourselves to this risky business of hospitality to strangers. Because of what we need, and because of what you've done, and because of how you've loved. So Lord Jesus, I invite you to challenge us, fill us, motivate us, help us see, help us be your people of love, that are loved by the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Let your love so much flow out through us that it makes not only a difference in us, but a difference in the strangers that we meet around us. We ask in the name of Christ. Amen.